We're good. Doing the Gemara now, Daf Mem Zayin, Amud Aleph. Tana Rabbanan. Ein Onin, lo Amein Chatufa, velo Amein Kitufa, velo Amein Yesoma, velo Yizrok, Bracha, Mipiv. So, means that Ein Onin, a person can't respond or recite. And Amen, Chatufa. What does it mean, Chatufa? So Rashi says, Shekorin es ha'alef b'chatach, v'lo b'patach. V'omer, Amen. V'utzarech lomer, Amen. And the question is, that what's the chiddush? If the proper pronunciation of Amen is with a patach, Amen, so, of course you shouldn't say it, chatufa. Of course you shouldn't say it with the wrong pronunciation. The idea, however, and it fits in with the whole category, is that it's because you're in a big hurry. Not that the person is deciding he's going to say it differently. The person is just not paying full attention to the ame, just in a big hurry. So, he may not take the time to enunciate properly. Of course, the question is, what's the importance of this? Why are we concerned about this? Then it says that you shouldn't say Amen Kitufa. So Rashi says, Shemachase Kriyas HaNun. He leaves out the Nun. She'eino Motziya B'peh. He doesn't enunciate it, verbalize it. Shetaheni Keres, that it's recognizable. Cut off is to chop it off. It's chopped off, so to speak. Beyond that, the question is it a valid amen? What's the halacha of amen? Question being, let's say a person did say an amen kitufa or chatufa. Was he yotze? Of course, you have to understand that there are two frameworks of amen. One framework of amen is where you want to be yotze, the bracha, with your amen. One person is making Kiddush, and the others are listening, and you want to say Amen, and thereby fulfill your own obligation. So that's one situation of Amen. There's another situation of Amen, in that there's a halacha, that even if you're not Yotze, with the bracha, you don't need the bracha. Let's say you made Kiddush already. Whenever you hear the enunciation of a bracha, then you're mechuyev to answer Amen. It's a chiyev Amen. Question arises, what case are we talking about over here? Are these rules, prescriptions with regard to proscriptions, with regard to Amen, universal? Doesn't matter whether you're being Yotze the Bracha or not. Or are they only in those cases where you want to be Yotze the Bracha? Rashi, Yesoma, Shlo Shama HaBracha. He did not hear the Bracha. Ela Sheshama Sheonin Amen. But he heard that they're answering Amen. This is a little bit of a more challenging case. Because are we talking about a case where he wants to be Yotze the Bracha, he's Mechuyiv in that Bracha, or no, it's just a separate halacha we're talking about that he has to answer Amen when he hears the Bracha. Well, here he didn't hear the Bracha. So he didn't hear the Bracha, so he has no Chiyuv. So what are we talking about? If are we making the point that he's not Yotze through an Amen Yesoma? That is to say that he wasn't Yotze Kiddush. And he came in and somebody was making Kiddush, but he didn't hear it. He just heard everybody saying Amen. And he answered Amen with them, so then it doesn't work. Is that the point? But let's say, would the concept of Amen Yesoma be applicable in a situation where he's not mechuyev? Who are we addressing over here? Let's say a person already was Yotze Kiddush. He comes to somebody else's house. He hears everybody saying Amen. So he says Amen too. Would we also instruct him, you did the wrong thing? That is to say, is there a phenomenon of Amen Yesoma per se that it's Ein Onin? You can't partake of an Amen Yesoma, or we're merely saying that an Amen Yesoma doesn't work. In the case where he's not obligated, where he was already Yotze, So then you're only going to talk about the Amen, which is based upon the fact that the person has a chiyuv to say Amen if he hears the bracha. But here the person didn't hear the bracha. By definition, the case of Amen Yisoma, you can't say that he has a chiyuv Amen because he didn't hear it. So then, if that's the case, so what did he do wrong? He just said the word Amen. You can't anymore find the basis upon which to fault him. Because a person says Amen for one of two reasons. Either because he wants to be Yotzei with the bracha that's being recited, or he doesn't need to be Yotzei, but he has a chiyuv to answer Amen anytime he hears a bracha. So then you can make rules that pertain to these cases. Now you're opening up another box, another window, so to speak. You're talking about a person that didn't hear the bracha. So if he didn't hear the bracha, he can't be Yotzei with it. And he didn't hear the bracha, he doesn't have a chiyuv to answer Amen to it. So what are you talking? What are you telling him? Don't answer an Amen Yisama. What's the difference? It turns out he's just saying the word Amen. Going to the Rambam, Hilchos Brachos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Gimel. Kol HaShemaya Echad Mi Yisrael, Mavarech Bracha Mikol HaBrachos. Whoever hears a Jew, interesting that he points out a Jew, who else would he be talking about? Whoever hears a fellow Jew, an Israelite, reciting a bracha, any bracha, even though he did not hear the entire bracha, from beginning to end, and even though he's not chayev in that bracha, chayev lanos amen, he's chayev to respond with amen. V'imhoya ha-mavarech apikoros, and I have in parentheses akum, apikoros, okuti, otino, kamaslamed. So you have categories of different people, in which case you would not recite amen if they stated the bracha. Oshoye gadol, or the person was a, not a katan, an adult. V'shina mimatbeya ha-bracha, and he changed the matbeya of the bracha. Ein onin acharav amen. You don't answer amen. All right, so the Rambam has established the principle that there's a separate chi of amen. And the chi of amen is even if you didn't hear the entire bracha. You might have thought that it's only if you hear the entire bracha. But you heard clearly part of the bracha. Essentially, you heard the chasima of the bracha, at least. You heard the end part of the bracha. Then in Halacha Yadalat, kala ono amen, lo yana, lo amen chatufa. Whoever answers amen, so this would apply to everything above, whether you're mechuyev or not mechuyev. That's the way the Rambam learns. It's a din in amen. And it doesn't matter what the purpose or the function of amen is in your case, whenever you have to say amen. Lo amen chatufa, velo amen kitufa, velo amen kitzara. Velo arucha, and not too long. El amen bainerness. The Rambam had a different approach over here, apparently. That is, all these things are part of a general framework, that the length of the amen shouldn't be too small, the length of the amen shouldn't be too long. That's katsara and arucha. But bainerness, somewhere in between, normal. The Rambam over here does not mean anyone who's not bar mitzvah. It doesn't seem to make sense that he would say that. V'chol mi shaloshama es habracha shu chayev ba. And anyone who did not hear the bracha that he's chayev in, lo yana amen bechlal ha'onim, should not answer amen together with those who answer. This seems to indicate that when it came to amen yisoma, the way the Rambam is learning, this is amen yisoma, it's only an issue with regard to bracha that he's chayev in. He's chayev in that bracha, but he didn't hear it. And he wants to be Yotze. So he'll answer amen together with the other people and join with them. It's not gonna help. Can't attach himself to the amen through joining it with other people's amen. He has to hear the bracha itself. But let's say he's not chayiv in it. The next question is, what if he's not chayiv in it and everybody else is answering amen? Should he answer amen? The Rambam doesn't really say what about a situation where he's not chayiv in the bracha and he didn't hear the bracha, but he hears everybody else answering amen. So for him, it would be an Amen Yisoma. He doesn't address that. Perhaps it's because in that situation, it doesn't make sense for him to be answering Amen. He doesn't have a chiyuv. He's not mechuyev in the bracha. And he's not chayev to answer Amen. So what are we talking about? There's nothing to say. He doesn't say Amen. But the Rambam didn't go so far as to say that it's also for him to say Amen in that situation. If he said Amen in that situation, so I guess you would say nothing happened. It was he just said the word Amen. Doesn't mean anything. It's like a person that's outside, for whatever reason, decides to say Amen. It would seem that way. Put a different way, is Amen Yisoma simply a defect? It's a psul in Amen. It's a psul in the Amen. Well, no, it's an Isser. There's an Isser of Amen Yisoma. Ben Azay Omer in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Kala Ona Amen Yisoma. Whoever answers an Amen Yisoma, you Yubanam of Yisoma. His children will be Yisoma. Which indicates that it's a very serious thing. Harsh, but sounds very harsh. Chatufa Yischatfu Yamav. Ketufa Yischatfu Yamav. That is, he'll suffer. His days will be shortened, snatched. Whether you take it literally or not literally, the plain sense is that these are very serious consequences will flow from this. And whoever extends it, so his days and his years are extended. From the fact that Amen Yisoma is lumped together with the other ones, would seem to indicate that there's an Isra of Amen Yisoma. That a person should not partake of an Amen Yisoma under any circumstances. Which does not seem to be the implication of the way the Rambam is learning. The Rambam is simply learning that it's defective, it doesn't work. Here you're saying that the phenomenon itself, because if it's merely saying that he wasn't Yotzei the Bracha, so what are we saying, that his children will be Yisoma? Well, so just all the consequences, he's not Yotzei the Bracha. Must be something more than that. There's definitely a negative over here. The Rambam in Halacha Yudal clearly differentiates between the Amen Yisoma and the other cases. Because then he says, at the beginning of Yudal, he says, Kol ha'ona Amen, Kol ha'ona Amen, whoever answers Amen, Lo yana lo Amen, Chatufa v'lo Kitufa v'lo Katsar v'lo Arucha, that's a din in Amen per se. So all these things are in Amen per se, whatever situation. Then when he comes to Yisoma, he says, he differentiates. He sets it apart, and he says, "V'chol mi shlo shama es habracha shuchayva lo yano amin b'chal ha'onim." That's what seems to be his interpretation of Amin Yisoma, because there it's only there that he says bracha shuchayva. Yeah, to recap, in terms of the development, when you first say lo yana amin chatufa kitufa, it's possible to say that it's merely instructing you that this doesn't work. That's why you shouldn't say it. But whether there is a phenomenon of Amen Ketufa, that it's a negative, I'm going to use the words like there's a positive, but when I'm positive in a negative kind of way. It's like saying, for example, you shouldn't take this type of pill or this type of aspirin. So one way is to understand is that it won't cure the headache. Another way is it's dangerous for you. It has negative effects. That's the general descriptive approach. So when you first read the Ein Onin, you set up the question. You don't know. Maybe they're merely saying it doesn't work. But maybe they're saying more, that this is a negative phenomenon. When the Gemara then proceeds to make all these statements, even though they're not halachic statements, because this Gemara is interesting in the interconnection between the halachic and the hashkafic. But the fact, from the hashkafic, you can deduce that it's a negative phenomenon in and of itself. It's not just an absence, but it's a negative. According to one formulation, if a person said an Amen Ketufa or Chatufa, it's no worse than if he didn't say Amen at all. Which means he wasn't Yotzei his Chiyuv, either the Chiyuv of the Bracha, or the Chiyuv of Amen. And that's one category. Not that it's not serious. I guess it's serious. But whatever. I mean, The Gemara does not seem to be following that path. It means to be saying the implication over here is, because it doesn't say that if he didn't say Amen, then his days will be shortened. It's establishing, it's isolating a phenomenon. It turns out that if a person said Amen the wrong way, it would appear that's worse than if he didn't say Amen at all. Amen, chatufa, kitufa means if you said Amen the wrong way. But the person, sort of in a conflict. On the one hand, he wanted to say Amen. On the other hand, for whatever reason, he botched it. And then the Gemara is treating it as being a real problem. Thus, if I'm correct with this analysis, he would have been better off if he didn't say Amen at all than if he said an Amen Ketufa. That there's a phenomenon of an Amen Ketufa. And now we're going to take up the issue of Amen Yesama. Rashi raises a question, and Tosis raises a question. On the base of the Gemara in Sukkah, V'hodi Amrinan V'hachalil, and stated in the Gemara Sukkah, Sheba Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim, in Alexandria, in Egypt, Hayimanifin Bisudarim, Kishagia Eis Lanos Amen. So apparently it was a very huge shul, and people in the back were not able to hear the brachos of the tefillah. Shmona Esrei, Birkas Kriyashma, whatever, brachos. So they would wave flags. When the time came for people to answer Amen, they had the signal, a signal system worked out. Alma lo shemi. Thus you could deduce that they couldn't hear. Otherwise, they wouldn't need the flags. The Ka'anu? And nevertheless, they answered. That's the question. It's a little unusual for Rashi. This is a Tosfos kind of a phenomenon. That's what Tosfos came and did. Tosfos took the Gemara, found the case which on the surface would seem to contradict it, and then the resolution. Rashi, generally speaking, doesn't do it. Rashi answers. Hanu Meida Yadi Shehem Onin Acha Bracha. These people knew that they were answering a bracha. Well, that seems to be obvious, but Rashi's making a point of it. If you hear a group of Jews, you walk into a place and they're all answering Amen, I think everybody knows that they're answering Amen to a bracha. All right. Unless it's possible that in those times too, that a lot of times people would say Amen. Oh, because somebody said something that they agree with. So it could be. And that's why Rashi said that it's not so simple. It's not always, you hear a bunch of people saying Amen, you don't know what they're saying Amen to. Because it is used colloquially. The al-ezu bracha heimonim. So Rashi says two things would be required. Of course, once you have the second one, that includes the first. But the person, it's not enough though, Rashi's spelling it out. It's not enough just to know that they're answering after Amen. But if the person knows which bracha they're answering Amen to, and does not know, knows which bracha, I'm sorry, but didn't hear the bracha, knows which bracha they're answering Amen to, but didn't hear the bracha, so there Rashi is telling you, it's a big chiddush, that they're allowed to answer. Elish lo hayu shomen es hakol. They didn't hear the sound, but they did know the bracha. That's not considered to be an Amen Yesoma. The plain description that Rashi gives in that very same Rashi, Amen Yesoma Shlo Shama HaBracha. He didn't hear the Bracha. Ela Shashama Sha'onin Amen. So that's Amen Yesoma. Now we have to modify it. That is to say, and he doesn't know what the Bracha is. Now, on the basis of this, this is crucial. Without the case, it's interesting. Because Rashi is not raising the possibility that maybe they were wrong. Maybe they were all guilty of Amen Yesoma. Rashi doesn't consider that. Because this is a well-entrenched custom, and he knew that whatever they did was correct. He's assuming that that's correct. So therefore, you have to explain it. And the explanation is that the situation over there was that they could follow. They knew what the bracha was. So that, because of that, if you didn't have that phenomenon, without that phenomenon, apparently, unless somebody just raised the question, theoretically, Without that phenomenon, you would assume that it doesn't make any difference, even if you know what bracha it is. It doesn't matter. But now, as a result of that phenomenon, we have to assume that they knew the halacha, and their understanding of the halacha was that the problem of Amar Yisroma is only when you don't know the bracha. Yeah. What's interesting about this position of Rashi is that it's not on the basis of a teaching or an interpretation of a teaching. It's based upon an interpretation of a phenomenon that just took place, a precedent, so to speak. Let's take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam, again, in Halacha Yudalad, Perek Aleph of Brachos, V'chol mi shloshamas ha-bracha, shu chayev ba, lo yano amein b'chlal ha-onim. What would you deduce from the Rambam? Would seem, superficially, first glance, that the Rambam didn't agree with Rashi. Why? Because the Rambam would have spelled it out. The Rambam didn't qualify it. He would have, if he held like Rashi, he should have said, whoever did not hear the bracha, that he's chayeva, and doesn't know what bracha they're, he shouldn't answer amen b'chol ha'onim if he doesn't know what bracha they're answering amen to. I mean, however he would have formulated, that would have been included. Thus leaving us to deduce, but if he did know, then it's all right. So when the Rambam just stated it that way, you don't have any right to infer anything more than what he said. That's it. Blanket thing, according to the Rambam, doesn't seem to make any difference. If it did make a difference, he should have incorporated it. It would seem that there's a machlokas. According to Rashi, if you didn't hear a bracha, you're chayiv in a bracha, you didn't hear the recitation. But you know what bracha is being recited. Just didn't hear it. For example, Kiddush. It's a huge hall. This can be a very practical case. So let's say, you know, you have some kind of a simcha, so it's a Friday night, Shabbos. Very often today, people take a hotel, and have a lot of people there. And so you come into the dining room, it's a huge dining room, and you're all the way in the back. And the person gets up and says Kiddush, and you can't hear. Then you hear the loud Amen, that you could hear. So you answer Amen. Now you know the guy was saying Kiddush. Would seem, according to Rashi, you're Yotzei. According to the Rambam, however, the way we are learning the Rambam, would seem you're not Yotzei. Tosis, of course, brings down the same case, the Gemara Sukkah in Alexandria. The reason why it has significance is not just because this happened, because the Gemara brings it down. And the Gemara, there's no critical comment. The assumption is that this was the way it was done, and it's appropriate. That's really what forces Rashi and Tosfos to come to that conclusion. If somebody would have just reported that people did something in a certain shul, so what? Maybe they're wrong. But since the Gemara reported it, and there's no one raises a question. Why didn't somebody raise a question in the Gemara? But we learned, you know, how to say Amen Yisoma. So now you're stuck with the fact that you have the description of what seems to be Amen Yisoma, and it's being brought down in Sukkah as a case that happened, and nobody's objecting. So that forces Rashi to make this distinction.